G'day, Mossy. How are you?
Oh, I'm fantastic, Mido. Yourself?
Yeah, very well, thank you. Well done on the multi, getting up once again.
Back to back.
You'll take that. Let's start with this.
I haven't heard from Mr. 0 out of 66 for a couple of weeks.
Oh, no, yeah, he's had a whinge. Don't worry, on the text line this morning, Mr. Wadalba bloke. We get an essay every Monday about all the tips. But anyway, let's start with the FA Cup. And, what a game at Wembley overnight between Coventry City, who won the FA Cup, I think it was 1987, Mossy. And here they are in the second tier of English football. They've got their way through to the Final Four, and they have given Manchester United an absolute fright before United got through on penalties.
3-0 down, Coventry found themselves. 3-0 down to Manchester United and found a way to get back to 3-3 through a little bit of luck, some good finishing and some woeful defending from Manchester United. Again, I mean, that for me is the great escape by Manchester United. It's not a lot to celebrate there. And then scraping through on penalties to make it an all-Manchester derby in the FA Cup final for the second year in a row. So they face Manchester City on the 25th of May at Wembley. Manchester City, of course, getting through by virtue of their 1-0 win over Chelsea the night before. And they did exceptionally well, Manchester City, given that it was only 72 hours after a devastating loss and exit from the Champions League to Real Madrid. They did very well to get themselves back up and find a way to beat Chelsea, who had chances of their own. So it could have gone either way that game. But when you're battling that sort of mental and physical fatigue, I think Pep Guardiola can be very pleased that his team are in the final. But Manchester United certainly go into the final as underdogs, but finals are finals. It's on the day, so you never know.
Now, EPL, Liverpool back on top of the...
Sorry. Loz had a nice sneeze there. Oh, yeah. Loz.
I did press the button.
Yeah, it did. Came on very quickly.
Oh.
I can only imagine that was like a typhoon in the studio.
Oh, it was coming out of this.
You've seen the panic, though.
3-1, beat Fulham.
Yes, that's right, Clarkie. It was, we had to work for it, to be fair. We got the 3 points that we craved at Craven Cottage, if you want a headline. But it wasn't all Liverpool's way, that's for sure. And in the end, it took a couple of second-half goals from Gravenberch and Diogo Jota to get us over the line when Fulham pulled one back and equalised right on the stroke of half-time and injury time of the first half to cancel out a fantastic free kick from Trent Alexander-Arnold. Brilliant free kick right into the top corner. We're giving ourselves a chance. We're staying in the fight, which is the main thing. But Manchester City with a game in hand, of course, they didn't play over the weekend because of that FA Cup semi-final. So they're still in the driver's seat, there's no doubt, with Arsenal winning over the weekend again, 2-0 over Wolves. So, it's that three-way battle that we've been talking about. And it's just hotting up as we get closer and closer to the final couple of rounds.
Now, Mossy, I see Aston Villa had a win on the weekend, and that now takes them 6 points clear, but Tottenham still got two games in hand. But how are we getting so far? Well, we're so far into the season, only a couple of games to go, and they've still got to make up two games, Tottenham.
Yeah, well, one was from the weekend, Manchester City obviously not being able to play a league game. The other game in hand, Mido, I don't know if you know off the top of your head, but I can't remember why that's come about. But,
can't remember.
Yeah, with cups and all sorts of things this time of year, Loz, sometimes you get that. But, that'll be played pretty soon, I would imagine. Yeah. They'll have a backlog of games.
But that's not going to help them, is it, when they've got to back up pretty quickly?
No, particularly when they've still got to play. Well, the Manchester City game is on the 15th of May. But you're right, when you've got Manchester City, you've got Arsenal, you've got Liverpool, you've got Chelsea. The last thing you need is fatigue and having to rotate players too often, because then that can sometimes cost you rhythm and fluency. But job all to do. Villa in the box seat, but those two games in hand, well, let's see how they play out.
Let's see how they do. Let's go to the A-League. MacArthur beat Sydney, but there's a bit of red card drama.
Oh, Clarkie, I reckon I'd go so far as to say it's the worst red card I've seen this season. And it was to Ivan Vujica from MacArthur. It was for a tackle on Joe Lolly. Joe Lolly was pleading with the referee not to give a red card and not to let VAR intervene. And he was the recipient of the tackle. There were some studs from Vujica. But honestly, if you understand, and I love our referees, and I know they've got a tough job and VAR and all that stuff, and got a good relationship with them, and they explain themselves after the game, which is great. At the end of the day, if you understand football, that is never in a million years a red card. It, at very worst, it should have been a yellow card. But I would have been happy with a free kick play and no tickets. But anyway, it kind of ruined the game as a spectacle, to be honest, because it was early in the game. It was in the 37th minute. Sydney FC, to the credit of MacArthur, couldn't break MacArthur down. MacArthur got the go-ahead goal. Jed Drew, 49th minute, injury time of the first half. And then they were reduced to 9 men in the 67th minute. Tommy Smith for an elbow on Fabio. I can understand why that was given as a red card. The elbow was raised. Was it intentional? Who knows? But I can see why it was given. But ultimately, MacArthur with a famous win that leapfrogs Sydney FC in the top six, confirms they've got finals football. And they did it with 9 men. So you've got to credit Milo Sturjovsky and the MacArthur players.
Disastrous result for the Wanderers. Melbourne City have gone above them. So the Wanderers are now outside looking in as far as the top six is concerned.
Yeah, that was a horrible result for Western Sydney. Full credit to Aurelio Vidmar and the Melbourne City players. They came, they saw, they conquered at CommBank Stadium. And as you said, huge pressure on them because had they lost that, their season was all but over, and they found a way to win the game. Western Sydney, just too inconsistent. And really, if you look at the wash-up of the season, probably they're the two inconsistent sides of the season. So whichever one misses out on the finals, they've only got themselves to blame. But Melbourne City in the box seat going into the last round this weekend.
And the Women's A-League, Melbourne City and Sydney FC won their first leg of the final.
They did. Was fantastic to see. The Central Coast Sydney game was a standalone game up there at Gosford. Sydney FC just showed their experience, really, to get the job done. In the 54th minute, Mackenzie Hawkesbury with the go-ahead and winning goal. So that gives them a 1-0 lead going into the second leg at home for Sydney FC. So they'd go in as clear favourites to make the final. And Melbourne City were too good for Newcastle away from home, going to their home league next weekend with a 3-0 aggregate. So you would imagine it will be a Sydney FC Melbourne City final, and Melbourne City would probably get hosting rights given that they finished ahead of Sydney on the ladder.
The Oli Roos, what's happened? This campaign's been, well, it's gone horrendously, hasn't it, over at the under 23 Asian Cup.
Yeah, it has. It's not what we wanted. It's not what we expected. Goalless. They didn't score a goal in their three games. A draw to Jordan, a loss to Indonesia, and a draw, scoreless draw to Qatar. We won't be going to Paris. It's all on the women's side, the Matildas, to fly the Aussie flag in the football tournament at the Paris Olympics. There's going to be some inquisitions there for the Oli Roos, because to go into a tournament like that and not score a goal, let alone not get a win, is a disaster.
We needed Nestor Iringunda, Mossy.
Well, that'll be one of the talking points, no doubt, Mido. It was a big talking point going in. Now that we haven't scored a goal or won a game, it'll probably be a bigger talking point. But ultimately, you know, Tony Vidmar and Nestor Iringunda and Cal Viet know what happened behind the scenes as to why he didn't go, and I'm sure they've got their valid reasons. Apart from welfare, nothing else has really become public that I'm aware of. So I don't know the ins and outs of it, but certainly he's the type of player that could have opened up any one of those three games.
We've got midweek Premier League coming up. Geez, some important games too when you think Arsenal-Chelsea on Wednesday morning our time. Then there's four games Thursday morning, Anzac Day our time, including the Merseyside derby at Goodison Park. And Everton all of a sudden will have, well, a little bit of confidence about them coming off a 2-0 win over Nottingham Forest. And then Friday morning, Brighton hosting Man City. So the title race is on.
Yeah, it certainly is. And Manchester United hosting Sheffield United. Chris Wilder, the Sheffield United manager, conceding over the weekend, all but their season is all but over. The relegation is assured now. So that's sad for all Blades fans. But some great games there. We love a Merseyside derby. Everton, as you said, Mido, won on the weekend. So they've just eased the pressure a little bit around relegation, but still waiting to see if there's some more points deduction. So they need as many in the bank as they can get. Bank's probably the pun, if you'll pardon the pun, because it's all around financial fair play that they're struggling with. But nevertheless, Crystal Palace also hosting Newcastle. That should be a ripper. But as you said, London Derby, Arsenal and Chelsea will be a massive, massive game, with Chelsea now out of the FA Cup. Pressure on Pochettino, one of their worst seasons in memory, Chelsea. So winning a London derby might just sweeten the bitter taste in their mouth just a touch. The other one, mate, just quickly, the Women's Champions League. Ellie Carpenter, who plays for Lyon, inspired her team to a comeback win over PSG. And of course, Chelsea, Sam Kerr not in the Chelsea lineup at the moment, but they... they beat Barca away from home in the first leg of the semi-finals. So some big results there for a few of the Matildas girls.
And I mentioned it earlier, not sure you caught any of it, but in La Liga it was El Clasico, didn't disappoint. It looks like Jude Bellingham, a stoppage time winner for Real Madrid, 3-2 over Barcelona this morning.
Yeah, I did see that one, and just had to be an Englishman, didn't it? Bellingham in the 91st minute, as you said. But, Real Madrid racing away with La Liga title. So, but a huge game there. Five goals in an El Clasico is must-watch TV.
Yeah, they're 11 points clear after 32 games at the top of the table from their nearest rivals, their biggest rivals, sorry. Thank you, Mossy. Have a great one.
You too, guys. Take care.